Welcome, everyone, to the ProWrestling.net All Access Podcast. My name is Chris Shore, and joining me today, we've got a real special treat. I have senior game designer Brian Williams from THQ, and he is here to talk with me about the WWE 13 video game. And got a lot of questions there for him, and we'll talk about just game design in general and him being a wrestling fan and about the game itself. And we've got some questions from our members. We opened that up to our members exclusively as a perk of them being our members. And if you've ever thought about being a .NET member, it's a great time to sign up. We do lots of audio here on the site each and every week, usually somewhere between 6 and 7 hours of audio. Jason Powell does a WWE Monday Night Raw audio review. Jake Barnett and I get together on Saturday mornings for an all-access version of the SmackDown audio review. Will Pruitt comes along usually on Fridays with TNA Impact Wrestling audio review. Jake and Will get together every week for the .NET Countdown, where we look at the best and the worst in professional wrestling. Jason does a Q&A audio usually on Fridays, where members can ask both wrestling and non-wrestling questions. And then every Thursday, Jason and I get together for the .NET Weekly audio show. We call it our flagship show. Look at all the news of the week and often break news that's not made its way to the site yet. And, of course, as we're recording this, it's actually Tuesday afternoon as we're recording this, and the big news that just broke was just a little while ago, CM Punk having emergency knee surgery. Jason and I will be talking about that, I'm sure, in great detail on Thursday. Get access to all that audio, plus access to the ad-free version of the site, the .NET member forum, which is just on undergoing a major revamp. There's a lot of neat things in there. We've got a new bookie implant thing on there that you can go in where we're doing bets on the different pay-per-views for TNA, WWE, Ring of Honor, having a lot of fun with that. It's all new updated interface, very cool on the forum, and of course our .NET member blog section where you get an opportunity to do what we do every single day and write a blog about wrestling. If you want to be a .NET member, just head on over to ProWrestling.net, click on the right-hand side of the page where it says .NET member sign up. We'll get you started for just $7.50 a month. If you want to take the annual option, well, not $2 off each month, take it down to $5.50. And again, it's a good time to sign up. We are coming into the best time of the year for wrestling, the Royal Rumble right around the corner. And, of course, that is the official start to the road to WrestleMania. And it's just the best time of year to get started. And now that my plug is done, I want to go ahead and bring in Brian right now. Brian, thank you so much again. You are a senior game designer at THQ and worked with the WWE 13 game. Thank you for being here today.
Oh, Chris, thank you for having me. Long-time reader of the site, long-time reader of your blogs, and I might add a former .NET All-Access member. I need to renew my membership there because it's definitely worth any money that you pay for the site. It's a fantastic site you and Jason have there.
There you go. See, it's not just me that's plugging the site. It worked out really well. We hate that you went, but it's a good time to sign back up, Brian, as we get into Royal Rumble time. I want to talk a lot about WWE 13, but I just want to start with this question because I used to teach high school. Long-time listeners and readers of the site know that I used to teach, they called it computer engineering. It was basically repair. When I taught high school, I taught there for 5 years, and every single kid, it seemed, that came through wanted to know, how do I get into designing games, testing games, just everything having to do with video games? Obviously, it's a very hot market. Lots of crossover between wrestling fans and video game fans. In our .NET member forum, we have a specific thread where we talk about what the latest game you're playing is. So just take a minute, if you don't mind, tell us how you got into designing games and made your way to THQ.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. My entry into the THQ was, I started in the QA department, which is quality assurance for those of you that don't know. I had just finished college. Now, this was back in 2003. And Chris, yeah, I had no idea what it was I was going to do with my life. I was a super senior in college. I had spent, 5.5 years in college. Told myself that you got to finish. You got to start your life. So I did that and had no idea what it is I wanted to do.
And what was your degree in? Just let me dip in real fast. What was your degree in?
Yeah, I have a degree in art history.
Okay.
As funny as that may sound. But, I graduated. My girlfriend at the time knew that I was a huge gamer, and she had, unbeknownst to myself, she had submitted my resume to THQ for work as a tester. Because a couple months before, I told her that, oh, that'd be a fun job just to say that I did it, do it for a little bit until I kind of figure out what it is I'm going to do with my life. So a week after I graduated, I got called into THQ. I interviewed, got the job, and I was testing. The first game that I worked on, actually, was a wrestling game. It was Raw 2 for the original Xbox. So that was, you know, kind of got my foot in the door. A terrible game, by the way, but it got my foot in the door. And I tested for about a year. And then after, once you do about a year and a half being a tester, I mean, it's a grind. You're working a lot of hours. You know, pay is really not anything to write home about. You know, obviously there was a lot of overtime, so that helped. But it got to a point where I said to myself, okay, I've done this for a year. I've pretty much learned all I can as a tester. And I just thought to myself, I said, I know I can bring more to the table and, you know, produce more for TXQ to give an opportunity. So I went and I spoke with my manager and, ended up getting promoted to a different position, which is where I met my boss now, of course, at Desma. We were at a press event. I think it was for the first SmackDown vs. Raw game. And I met him. And yeah, you know, 2 weeks after that, you know, he kind of pulled me aside at the office and said, hey, Brian, you know, we were wondering if you'd be interested in, you know, joining us on the, you know, production side of working on the game. And I was like, you kidding me? Of course. So that was back in 2004, late 2004, and I've been working on the games in its design capacity since. The first game that I did design work for was SmackDown vs. Raw 2007, and I've been doing it every year. It's kind of, you know, my road into this profession is a little unorthodox in the sense that, you know, I have a degree in art history, one that doesn't readily probably suit the game design, you know, aspect of my job. But being an art history major, you know, I learned to write. And being in this industry, you know, writing skills are paramount. You know, you've got to be able to formulate an idea, you know, in your head and put that on paper so that it can be easily read, interpreted by whoever, you know, picks it up and reads it. So I had that, you know, and then everything else I just kind of... And it's been a whirlwind. It's been fantastic, you know, being a wrestling fan and having an opportunity to produce and design for a wrestling title, not just any wrestling title, but the WWE's wrestling video game is just, you know, it's just an honor, and I love my job to death. I really do.
Is that what you've primarily worked on or solely worked on at THQ has been the WWE titles?
That is correct, sir. I am solely dedicated to the WWE franchise of games. It was, you know, SmackDown vs. Raw, and then now we've renamed the franchise to simply WWE and the year. But yeah, that keeps us busy. You know, because the game's got such a quick turnaround because, you know, we release the game every year.
Right.
So we're never not at a loss. We're never, you know, sitting on our laurels. We're always constantly working and trying to push a game out.
You mentioned being a wrestling fan. Did you catch the wrestling bug as a kid? And if so, did you ever have aspirations of being a wrestler?
You know, here's the funny thing about me and my transition to becoming a wrestling fan. As a kid, the only things that I cared about were G.I. Joe, Transformers, and comic books. That was pretty much my life up until I was, you know, in middle school. And then, you know, the toys kind of went by the wayside, but I stayed heavily involved in the comics, Marvel, DC. I'm a huge comic book nerd. So growing up as a kid, yeah, I never really, wrestling just wasn't my thing. It wasn't until my first year in college, in 97, where I became the wrestling fan that I am now, and I attribute that to my friends, my best friend to this day, my friend Amir. You know, we met our first year in college in the dorms, and every Monday, he would get everybody together in his dorm room to watch Monday Night Raw and WCW. And he would invite me over, and I'd tell him, like, no, man, I don't want to watch that wrestling stuff, you know, because I'm just thinking about how it was when I was a kid. And he said, no, dude, you got to come through. Even if you don't like it, just come hang out with us. And I was like, all right. So I went over there, and I remember we sat down, you know, we got, you know, Raw's Wars on, and I see this guy come out, and he's got the mic in his hand, and he's cutting this promo, and it's The Rock, and I'm hanging on every word, and I'm saying to myself, this is nothing like I remembered. And from that point on, you know, I've just been just infatuated with the WWE, and then it started out with WWE, and then I gradually, you know, broke out into, you know, the other, you know, the independent federations, and everything else. And so basically from 97 on, I have just, you know, engorged myself with all things professional wrestling, much to the chagrin of my girlfriend, might I add.
Is this the same girlfriend that got you the job at THQ?
This is not. This is another girlfriend.
Okay. I was going to say, so that one sounds like a keeper, but I can understand there's other things to play besides that. But
I'll cut you off. But I actually did. In trying, you know, being a game designer on a wrestling franchise, I a couple of years back, I actually did attend some wrestling. I went to a wrestling school, Mach 1 Pro Wrestling, which is out here in California, in Anaheim. I went there for a month and a half just to kind of to learn, you know, because I'm such a big fan, and it's like I felt that, you know, seeing where it is to actually be a wrestler, I thought it could only help me on the design side of things. So I did that for a month and a half, and, you know, starting out taking, you know, bumps and whatnot, a little bit of chain holds here and there, some reversals. I eventually wasn't able to keep it going just because of the commute and the time. You know, it was, you know, I couldn't commit the time necessary to really learn everything. But to this day, I cannot watch any wrestling, and I wince just even seeing a basic back bump because I know how much that hurts.
Yeah.
And it's like, man, if only these people knew. Like, I see, you know, when Cody Rhodes did that nasty back bump a few weeks ago on Main Event and just landed all kind of awkward. I felt so bad for him. But,
Paul Heyman said that the one bump that he doesn't want to take is a backdrop because just so many things can go wrong, and I think Cody Rhodes' incident certainly proved that.
Yeah, that was nasty.
So, well then, since you kind of came to the scene late, you've only been around, I guess, about, 15 years now, which is still a significant amount of time. So who's been your favorite wrestler? I guess what is the two-part question. Who's your favorite wrestler now, and who has been your favorite wrestler as far as since you've been plugged in?
Great question. I love talking about these, you know, my favorites.
Sure.
I count The Rock as probably my all-time favorite, seeing as how he's the guy that, you know, brought me into this, you know, wonderful business, pro wrestling business. So The Rock is always, for me, he's my Hogan. You know, I never was a Hogan fan growing up as a kid. I always kind of thought, this guy's a little cheesy, you know, with the yellow trunks and everything. I'd rather watch, you know, Duke and Cobra Commander duke it out. But so I really count The Rock as someone who really kind of changed my perception of professional wrestling. But as far as who my current guy is now, I'm sure a lot of the fans out there, because I do a lot of interviews and everything, it's pretty well known that I am a huge Bryan Danielson, Daniel Bryan fan. I love the guy. You know, when he was in Ring of Honor, you know, that's where I first started to see his work in Ring of Honor. And Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, I've seen him, man, about 5 or 8 times at PWG. So he's my number one. He's my all-time favorite right now. So Daniel Bryan is—he's a man. He can do no wrong, and I'm so happy for his success.
Yeah, I don't think you'll get too much disagreement from our fan base as far as how good he is, and it is—he's been a little bit of a surprise. I mean, I don't want to get off too much along track here, but yeah, to me, I have to admit that I mean, there was no questioning his in-ring ability, but so much of WWE success is built around what you can do outside of during the match, and I was really concerned about him and whether or not he'd be able to plug in, and he has made me eat all kinds of crow. I was dead wrong about Daniel Bryan. He has been quite the phenomenon since coming to WWE. So a good pick there.
But you know, I had the same feelings about that too. I really did. I mean, as much as a great technician that he is, you know, I also had my concerns. And when he lost the championship to Sheamus at WrestleMania, I was kind of concerned, like, okay, like, where does he go from here? But, you know, he surprised me as a huge fan of his. Like, I mean, I knew he was charismatic. You know, he had his own, you know, style of charisma. But to see him kind of transform into this, you know, he's just oozing with charisma now at WWE, and it's fantastic.
Yeah, and he's been involved with this really interesting storyline with Kane. It's had ups and downs, but it's been a lot of fun to watch. He's done a lot of good stuff there, and he's in the WWE 13 video game. Before we kind of transition to the video game, I guess a last wrestling question, or maybe a bridge question, if you will. When you guys were, you know, designing this game, and I realize it's a big overhaul, at least in gameplay, came last year with WWE 12. That was kind of the biggest change, and not so much from last year to this year with 12 to 13.
Right.
What the approach, you know, we just talked about Daniel Bryan and how the, you know, so much of WWE success involves what you can do outside of the ring. But this is a wrestling game, and people want to have those storyline elements built in. But it's, you know, obviously it's also about what, you know, the actual gameplay, being in the ring and being able to wrestle. When you set out to kind of approach that, what did you have in mind as you guys just approach this? Is it more of a WWE style of wrestling that you're thinking of recreating in the ring, or is it more say, of an indie style that's a little more fast-paced, a little more hard-hitting than what we actually see in the WWE ring?
Well, we try to accommodate both. I mean, obviously, you know, it's our, I mean, this is a WWE, you know, licensed video game, so, you know, we definitely strive to be as authentic to WWE style of wrestling as possible. But at the same time, you know, the game is so big. I know a lot of fans out there, because we are the only wrestling game around, you know, so we have to kind of, you know, we try to present a game that satisfies the WWE, the hardcore WWE fan, as well as just the wrestling fan in general, whether they watch TNA, whether they watch Ring of Honor, PWG, the local, you know, other independents out there. You know, we try to be that end-all, be-all, you know, wrestling experience in video game form. But we all, I mean, like I said, we have to focus, a lot of the focus on the WWE aspects of it. But as far as, you know, us adding new moves to the game or taunts or things from our credit superstar mode, you know, we definitely look to other forms of wrestling to try to, you know, infuse the game with as many diverse elements as possible to try to give players a complete package insofar as the wrestling aspect is concerned.
Let's talk about the game. WWE 13 is available now, and I believe the plan is, I know we have some that we're going to give away. I'm not entirely sure what the method is, but if you're listening to this, you probably already know, because I know we're going to be releasing that information as well as this audio right around the same time. Still waiting to hear back from Jason Powell on exactly what we're doing, but I did get a chance to play the game a couple of weeks ago. I rented it, and I have a copy on the way, so I'm looking forward to playing it some more. Obviously, the big news this year was the addition of the Attitude Era. You know, you came in during the Attitude Era. That, you know, you just told us that was when you cut your teeth on wrestling. Is this something that had been talked about for some time, and as far as introducing those aspects of the game, the old Attitude Era? Or was this something that, you know, just kind of sprung up as you were looking at something new to do with WWE 13?
Well, it's always been, you know, it's always been, you know, talked about because, you know, the Attitude Era is held in such reverence with the fans and such high regard. We've had, you know, we definitely have had discussions in the past about seeing what we could do as far as tying the Attitude Era into the current product. But as far as W13 is concerned, you know, when we first started pre-production on the title, we had thought about, you know, seeing what we could do if to salvage Rose WrestleMania mode, which is what our single player campaign was in WWE 12. Cool. And in that game, the Rose WrestleMania mode, it had its positives, its negatives. Truthfully, you know, Chris, it wasn't, you know, as highly, you know, regarded as we would have hoped. You know, a lot of fans had a lot of complaints, and rightfully so, about the mode. So when we were sitting down trying to think about what we were going to do for 13, you know, we originally had thought, well, let's see if we can, you know, address the issues that fans didn't like in Rose WrestleMania mode in W12 and see if we can, you know, still kind of kickstart this again. But throughout the course of brainstorming and coming up with all of the features and whatnot, my boss, Corey Ledesma, he actually was the one that sprung the idea about us saying, well, why don't we sell both WrestleMania. You know, we've done it for the past couple of years. Maybe it's time to do something different. Maybe take a look back in time and have a mode, you know, dedicated specifically to the Attitude Era where we can kind of recreate all these cool moments that happened in the past. And from there, everything just kind of clicked into place. You know, everybody was on board immediately. And we thought, yeah, this is a goldmine of an idea. And from there, you know, we just started to design the mode out. And it turned out great. I assume you played a little bit of the mode yourself.
That's pretty much all I played, yeah.
Okay. But it's a great trip down memory lane, and I think, you know, for the longtime fans, you know, like ourselves, you know, it's great to step in and, you know, go back and kind of recreate all those cool moments from the Attitude Era. And for the new players, not only are they presented with a really, you know, cool and satisfying single player campaign, but they're also, you know, learning about the Attitude Era and why it's held in such high regard by us, by the old timers and everything. So I think it functions as both a fun, you know, gameplay experience as well as an educational tool to kind of bring people up to speed about, you know, why the time period was as important as it was.
One of the things I noticed while playing was that it was obvious that at least part of the audio track was the actual audio taken from those events when they happened, because you could hear when they were saying WWF, the F would be bleeped out,
yeah,
or just cut off, as it were. How much of the Attitude Era is original source material, at least as far as the audio goes, and how much of it was recreated for the game?
It was probably about a 60-40 split, with 40% of us taking the actual audio content and repurposing it for the for use within the mode, and then 60% of us, re-recording or recapturing that stuff from the principals involved. I know it was kind of we had quite a hard time trying to track down The Rock, because we needed some VO from The Rock, and he was so busy with his movie schedule and everything, he was shooting some films. We weren't sure if we were going to be able to get him, but he was kind enough to take time away from the schedule, and we sent a crew down to, I think, Miami to record, the lines, his lines. So we tried to use as much of the actual footage as we could, but, it's the 60-40 split.
Okay. And how was it determined, what you guys would use from there? I know Paul Heyman was involved in a lot of this, as far as, tweaking out the storylines in the Attitude Era. I guess that's just the best way of putting it. How did you decide what to put in and what to leave out?
Well, as far as the Attitude Era goes, because Paul Heyman's involvement in the game wasn't so much on the Attitude Era side of things. He helped out, and we have another mode in the game called Universe Mode.
It's fine.
But he helped us. He helped us out with the Universe Mode by giving us a whole bunch of cool storyline ideas and angles that we could use for that mode. But as far as the Attitude Era is concerned, a lot of it had to do with we kind of started out first by seeing who we could get on the roster, because that pretty much dictated everything. Because obviously there's some guys that we, I think, gals that we weren't able to secure for the game. So, obviously, China, she's not in the game.
Right.
There's a couple of other people that couldn't make the cut. So we really, first just kind of decided, okay, well, who do we need? Who can we get? And once we figured out, all the principles that we were able to get, we kind of looked at the time period and said, okay, well, with the guys that we're able to get, let's focus on this particular year, on these particular events. And we kind of, went that route as far as deciding, which matches and which, moments that we were going to include within Attitude Era.
Okay. And why did the decision to, usually your Road to WrestleMania things that you've been doing, those storylines that have been going on where, basically you had, you would come to a match and you would wrestle it, you would either win or lose, and that would affect what happened next. So you had this branching tree story, whereas the Attitude Era, for those who haven't played it, you're looking to hit specific spots, and some of them are optional, some of them are necessary, and you guys did a good job of trying to recreate the things that actually happen. So, but other times we see where in games, similar to this idea where you're recreating something that happened in the past, where you can, where you can change the outcome. You guys didn't go that path. Why did you decide to stay with the actual stories and go that route as opposed to letting people, as opposed to letting people take control of Mankind and letting him throw Undertaker off the top of the set?
That's a great question. I think, what we really wanted to do, our main objective was just to really focus on the retelling of what actually transpired. We actually did, we released a game a couple of years back called Legends of WrestleMania, where we had a mode similar to Attitude Era mode, but it was a mode that featured all the things that you were just saying. Where you were able to, in that game, either you had the option of reliving the moment as it happened, or the match, or doing the opposite outcome. But for this year, it was a decision that was made by my boss. Just, he really just wanted to focus on, staying true to the events as they actually occurred. But there was definitely discussion about us possibly adding in those elements of basically, having players turn the events, around on their heads, as it were, and like you said, have Mankind throw Taker off the sub. But we originally just opted to just do a straight kind of retelling of the matches as they actually occurred. Great idea, though. Would have been cool to have, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it was just a curiosity question, more than anything else. I've seen it done both ways, I like what you guys have done with it. I thought it was very, very good. Some of the things, this was kind of one of the questions that was hinted around in our forum a little bit. Some of the optional things, I know one, there was one stage in particular, I can't remember which one it was, where you were in control of Steve Austin, and you had to hit a stunner and pin somebody in 10 seconds, say, for example. And there's so much going on with, you know, after he hits the stunner, he does all of this stuff where he gets in guys' faces and everything else. How much, I mean, you know, some of those things make sense as far as, you know, you have to, in the Mankind Undertaker storyline, you have to throw Mankind off the top of the cage to get full hookup, or full sync, if you will. Some of these other ones, like the 10-second thing, you know, seem more arbitrary for gameplay. Were those sorts of things kind of thrown in for that reason? Or, you know, is there a reason for, you know, for, like, I just think about the pinning in 10 seconds just kind of struck me as, oh, well, that's a little bit different than say, some of these other objectives that you need to meet. Was there a thought process to that as far as including that sort of thing? Or is it just, that's just the nature of what you guys came up with?
Yeah, I mean, it was those kind of challenges were thrown in there just to kind of to add a little more, you know, drama and challenge to the match itself. Trust me, there were a lot of discussions internally about some of these challenges. I remember there was one in particular where you had to steal a belt. I forget which match it was. You had to, you know, take a championship before I think it was either Hawk or Animal intercepted you. And, you know, it was just a balancing aspect where you wanted the matches in Attitude Era to be slightly different than anything you experience in Exhibition or Universe mode. So we wanted to just kind of add another layer of challenge to accomplishing certain tasks and objectives in the match. And these arbitrary kind of like, base objectives were just one way that we could, you know, kind of further add tension and challenge to the match, add a little more difficulty to it.
Let's switch gears a little bit, move away from the Attitude Era, and talk about the WWE Universe mode. You mentioned that Paul Heyman was involved with that. My apologies for getting that twisted around in my head.
What
was it like working with him and having him come in? I mean, you know, a lot of people still to this day consider him one of the greatest minds from a storytelling standpoint in professional wrestling history. What was it like? Did you get a chance to work with him? And if so, what was that like?
Oh, man. I really wish I would have had an opportunity to work, you know, hand in hand with Mr. Heyman. But, you know, unfortunately, his involvement, you know, we basically tasked him with, you know, coming up with several, you know, storylines and angles that we can then, that we'd be able to plug into the Universe mode. So he essentially, you know, sat, you know, at home or wherever he resides, and he would send in, you know, all these different ideas that were then passed on to the design team. And they were all great. And we kind of filtered through them and picked out the best ones that we thought would make the most compelling, you know, gameplay content. So to that end, you know, I wish I would have been able to have, you know, any kind of meeting with them or sit, you know, in the same room with Paul Heyman. That would have been incredible. But unfortunately, that wasn't the case. You know, he worked remote, but he was great to work with. I mean, as you said, he's one of the best wrestling minds in the business. And his involvement with the game only, you know, it made the Universe mode that much better and just adds and that much more authenticity to the product when you know that a guy like Paul Heyman was willing to help us out on the storyline front for Universe mode. So, we were very appreciative of all that he did for the game this year, you know, helping out on Universe mode. You know, he was, you know, hitting doing the PR, you know, really, you know, helping to promote the game. So, our hats off to Mr. Heyman. He was awesome.
With the Universe mode, it's like it's a totally different approach to than the Attitude Era, where the Attitude Era tries to recreate moments and tell those stories. This is, you know, more of that traditional, if you win, you go this route, if you lose, you go that route sort of thing. There's a momentum feature built into it. Talk a little bit about Universe mode and what the approach at THQ to plan, you know, when you sat down to plan that part of the game, how that was different than what you've done in the past.
Yeah, Universe mode is it's so big. It's such a huge mode. You know, this is the third year that it's been in the game. And it's really popular with the fans because, you know, once you're done with, you know, the single player campaign, of course you've got Exhibition and whatnot, but a lot of our fans are driven to the Universe mode because I always like to describe Universe mode as Exhibition, with a purpose. Because you have, you know, your matches, but at the same time, like you mentioned, you know, your wins and your losses will actually affect, you know, the path that superstar goes down. You know, if you get into a winning streak, you know, as you said, you know, your momentum will start to go up. It'll boost your attributes. And if you know, it'll put you, the game will automatically, kind of organically, set you in a fuse with certain other superstars, with the ultimate goal being to, you know, earn a championship title, whether it's the United States Championship, Intercontinental, or one of the big belts, you know, WWE Championship or the World Heavyweight Championship. And along the way, you know, as you play the game, you know, when these feuds are initiated, you know, players are treated to these really cool in-game cutscenes that are used to further the feud that you're involved with whichever superstar that the AI, you know, set you up with. So it's a really cool kind of organic feel where it's like you get the best of exhibition mode where you can play the matches, but at the same time, unlike exhibition, the AI will throw out all these cool curveballs at you, you know, whether, you know, you're doing successful in the match and then the opponent you're feuding with will run in during your match and try to, you know, cause you to lose. You know, so it's a mode that constantly can, you know, force you to stay on your toes. And it's just it's a fun and unpredictable way to play the game because you never know what the AI is going to throw out at you. So it's really cool, and it's one of those modes that you can play indefinitely. Like, there is no end to the mode. So it's got a lot of, its length and its replayability is through the charts. You know, so it's, and at the same time, we give players, you know, a lot of, options as far as how they want to customize the universe. You can always override whatever the AI decides to do for your superstars. If the AI decides that, you know, they're going to pair Daniel Bryan up with, you know, the Tensai, and you say, I see where you're going with that storyline, but I'm really not feeling this pairing. You can always kind of go and negate the AI choices there. So we give players, you know, it's a cool organic, you know, gameplay experience where your wins and losses actually matter. But at the same time, you know, we give players the option of turning on and off some of these certain these elements that the AI is controlling. So players get the best of both worlds. They really do.
You talk about the player being able to change things and how it affects things. And we'll jump in real fast here with a question from one of our .NET members, Phil McKnight, in the forum, who he asked. He said he liked the WWE Universe mode, but he also liked the GM mode and was curious if there was a possibility of seeing almost a revamped GM mode, maybe that would sit on top of the Universe mode. For those who don't remember GM mode, really, you were more responsible for ratings and that sort of thing. You set up the storylines, and then whatever happened, you could play the characters, or you could let the computer, you know, simulate it or whatever. But you were responsible for setting it up and drawing fans and doing ratings and pay-per-view buys and that sort of thing. And Phil wants to know if there's a possibility of ever seeing that, or if that was something that was considered along the way.
Oh, it's definitely been considered. I mean, it's between, you know, you and me. Like, I love GM mode. I really did, and I. To this day, like, I don't have a lot of regrets as far as decisions that we've made with this franchise, but I really wish I would have fought a little bit hard to keep GM mode in. You know, hindsight's always 20/20.
Sure.
But I really do have a fondness for GM mode, and I know a lot of fans do. You know, Universe mode definitely has some GM mode aspects to it, but it's not a full-on GM mode. It really isn't. I have you know, a great fondness for the GM mode, and I definitely think that it can sit next to Universe mode as its own separate entity. So, I'd definitely like to see it return in the game, in the future. Only time will tell, but, I'm definitely going to be fighting for its return.
Of course, one of the things that's always been, good about the THQ games for WWE has been the creator wrestler mode. I mean, it's the level of customization at this point has reached a totally absurd level. And in fact, I do a lot of, I do some play-by-play commentary for some local indie groups around here. And I actually have used your guys' stuff in the past to get names of moves that I wasn't entirely sure of. So I've stolen that from you guys.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. That obviously seems to be, I mean, that's something the fans continue to rave about with these games. How much effort is that something that's looked at every year and try to find ways to make bigger and better? Because it just seems like every year there's more and more to do in there. And it's not impossible, if you wanted to put that much effort into it, to sit down and spend 2, 3, 4 hours creating a character.
Yeah. Yeah, it can be pretty intense. Outside of all the cool, gameplay, you know, features and modes that we have in the game, you know, our bevy of create mode, suites and modes are astounding. And, you know, sitting right at the top of that list of the most popular create modes is the create a superstar, mode. I mean, we have data that we've got from, you know, players, you know, playing the game. And it's definitely one of the most used trade modes that we have in the game. So, yeah, definitely year over year, we're always trying to see what we can do to improve Credit Superstar, whether that's by adding, you know, of course we add new parts to it every year, new call names for your credit character. You know, this year we added a new functionality where players were able to create and customize their very own kick pad and boot combination or shoe. You know, whereas in the past we used to just kind of have a base kick pad and boot part, now players are able to choose each one of those elements independent of each other. And of course, we give them the ability to customize it and design it as they see fit. So a lot of attention is paid to Credit Superstar year over year just because of how popular it is, especially with taking into the fact of our online feature, Community Creation, where you're able to go online and kind of share your content with others and at the same time download other superstars that other people have made. Because as you mentioned, you know, some people, and God bless them, they'll spend hours, you know, creating the character. And the beauty of Community Creations is that, you know, if you don't want to spend all that much time yourself for the creation of a character that you're looking for or a superstar, you can just hop onto Community Creations and say, okay, I'm looking for a NWO Hogan. You know, you can kind of do a search yourself. It'll populate it with all the Hogans that are up on the Community Creations server. And you can kind of, you know, download them to your heart's content. So it's definitely an important feature for us year over year and one that will continue to expand and to grow.
Of course, you guys have the create arenas and created, you know, entrances and that sort of thing is all part of the creation process. One of the questions we got about arenas in the forum, it came from a couple of different members. I remember Air Force Rambus was one who asked, as well as .NET member Temptation X, who both asked kind of around this question. It seems like all the arenas are essentially the same with different skins laid over top of them. And especially when it comes to a place like WrestleMania, which has been outdoors now for several years, was there ever a thought given to you know, creating a different arena base for like the WrestleMania event? Because, you know, I can look, if someone, I can't remember which one it was that put it on here, but one of them said it looks like they just took the wrong arena and changed the skin to say WrestleMania and that was it. When WrestleMania should feel like a bigger, you know, a bigger venue.
Yeah, that's a great question, Chris. The answer is, you know, we've been trying to get a proper, you know, WrestleMania sized arena, outdoor arena specifically, in the game for the past few years now. And a lot of times, you know, it ultimately comes down to the cost and the time that we have to make the arenas and to get the game, you know, out the door. And unfortunately, that particular arena size has always been kind of a grand undertaking, but that's not to say that, you know, we're definitely not pursuing that. So for all you guys out there, because I've heard you complain yourself on Twitter and people wanting a really grand, because I mean, the WrestleMania arenas are big. They're huge, you know, definitely bigger than a Raw or SmackDown arena. So we've definitely heard those complaints and we are actively looking to address those in the future.
Just quickly to bring up some of the other things that have been said, some of the things I experienced as well. I, you know, not trying to pick, no game is perfect, but I just wanted to kind of give you an opportunity to respond to some of these. I know one thing in particular that stood out to me was some of the audio mixing is a bit suspect. I would notice, I live in an apartment and I were playing late at night. I had to have the remote sitting right next to me because sometimes what we would get, you know, the promos say that were being done in the ring were very quiet, and then as soon as the announcers kicked in, they were so much louder than everything else. What happened with the audio mixing?
Those are probably just, unfortunately, those were probably just bugs that that got, you know, that snuck into the final product there. But, you know, all feedback is good feedback as far as we're concerned, and, you know, we generate, you know, we gather all these the feedback, good and bad, from the fans, and, you know, we put that forth, you know, we're going to do a patch, you know, later on. We actually did a patch a couple of weeks ago to address some bugs that players have experienced. So, you know, unfortunately, it's just one of those things where it's, you know, sometimes these kind of nasty issues slip through the cracks. But we're definitely always on the lookout to try to, you know, address and stamp out as many bugs as possible. I apologize for that.
I just wanted to kind of give you an opportunity. And the other big one, and it's, because it's big for every game, it never seems like there can be a happy balance between what comes out on the disc and what comes out DLC. You know, how is that decision made as far as what, you know, what is shipped on the disc, what's put out there for a downloadable content later, and will we see more DLC coming for WWE 13?
Well, to answer your last question, as it just so happens, we actually just released a new DLC pack today for WWE 13. And within it, players will be able to download, I got my list right here. We have so many guys, it's hard to keep track of everybody. We've got Ryback, Tensai, AJ, Yoshitatsu, Natalya, Drew McIntyre. We also have an Undertaker Ministry of Darkness attire that players will be able to download for free, might I add. That's a freebie. As well as 10 new championships that players can download. So that just came out today. We have another DLC pack scheduled for release in January. So this is, you know, this is by far and away the biggest DLC offering that we've done in the game yet. So it's really cool and it's exciting for us to be able to offer, you know, this extra content to our consumers and to our fans. To answer your first question, you know, the decision of who's in and out for DLC, unfortunately, that's a decision made above me. I, of course, give my two cents about who I'd like on the disc or, you know, who I'd like as DLC or whatnot. But honestly, a lot of it has to do with scheduling. You know, whether or not we can get certain models done in time. Because to create, you know, a model, superstar model, in and of itself, just to create the base model takes roughly 3 months. So that's quite a bit of time. And then that doesn't take into account their entrance, you know, us going into motion capture to, you know, pick up their moves, their taunts. So there's a lot that's involved. So, you know, we do our best to get as much on the disc as possible. But at the same time, you know, DLC allows us to further, you know, add to the content of the game by, you know, providing players with this additional content, you know, after a release. So we look at it as a way to, you know, DLC is a great tool for us to just keep the game current. And yeah, you know, just keeping players entertained by the product by giving them all this, you know, great new content.
And not to look past where we are today, because it's certainly a good game. I recommend everybody give it a shot. But and not obviously not trying to put you on the spot, but what would you, as a designer, someone who's involved with this, and more importantly as a wrestling fan, what would you like to see out of WWE 14?
Well, you know, WWE 14 hasn't been announced, but just if it had been announced, what would I want to see? Oh, man. That's a great question. I'm still kind of wrapped up in the W13 right now. I can't wait for this holiday break to kind of recharge my juices here. I definitely like to see, you know, constant improvement in gameplay is always a must for me, seeing as how, you know, I work, just, you know, for anybody listening out there, you know, I work on the gameplay side as well as the create mode side of the game. So gameplay for me is always going to be, you know, something that I'm always looking to address and to push forward and, you know, improve upon. You know, whether that's revamping the grapple system or doing something, you know, kind of different and unique that sets, you know, each game apart from the other. That's always, you know, my main goal, you know, as a gameplay designer. Well, I would say right there, yeah, I'd love to just do something different with gameplay because, you know, by and large, you know, wrestling video games on the whole, you know, and not just talking about, you know, the games that we produce, going back years, you know, whether it was, you know, TNA's video game or, you know, the older wrestling video games from past console generations, a lot of the games, you know, are very similar in how they're played in the sense that, you know, you get into a lockup and then you have, you know, you do a left stick combination with a button press, does a grapple move, and it's a system that works. And it works well, and it's, you know, we've had a lot of success with it. But at the same time, I can't help but feeling that, you know, it'd be cool to put a new and innovative spin on how wrestling games are played. So that's something that I'm very much interested in trying to accomplish if we were to do another game.
Awesome, man. I got one last question here from one of the .NET members, Air Force Rambus, who I mentioned earlier, and he asked about in one of the Attitude Era scenes. I should have put this in with the Attitude Era, but I missed it. One of the Attitude Era scenes was, he said it was in, well, here it is, in Breakdown 1998, Austin attacked Taker on the way to the ring. So and that doesn't play out that way in the game. So you guys had to tweak a little bit. I know you said it kind of depended on who you could get, change some of the choice of storylines, but there was some minor tweaks throughout with getting the Attitude Era in there. Was that just for ease of getting it in the game, or was that a decision of, well, we'd rather go this way with it because we think this is better?
A lot of it had to do with just, you know, the ease of getting into the gameplay, and because for us, you know, gameplay is king, and
right.
Yeah, you're right. We had to make some small changes here and there to facilitate the gameplay experience. So that was, you know, that's one example of a situation where we looked at what actually happened, but we said, okay, well, in the confines of gameplay, I think we'll probably have to tweak this, that, and the other just to make it a little more, you know, user friendly for the end user. So we did definitely have to make a few small concessions here and there at the behest of gameplay. But as you mentioned, you know, it's just a couple of those, you know, sprinkled in throughout the mode, and hopefully it doesn't, you know, detract enjoyment from anybody that's playing the game.
Brian, we'll let you get out of here with this question. We're coming into the holiday season. Obviously, people will be looking to buy gifts for their gaming friends and family. Let them know what's the best reason why WWE 13 should be the choice for what they pick up front of the tree.
As I go in my sales pitch mode.
Yes, sir.
I'll just say, you know, if you know anybody in your life that is a fan of the WWE, a fan of professional wrestling, and they're also gamers, and heck, even if they're not gamers, you know, WWE 13 will be a fantastic purchase for the individual. You get to relive the Attitude Era. You get to experience the current WWE superstars and WWE Universe mode and exhibition gameplay. It's in all honesty, it's probably one of the most complete wrestling video games to date. Whether, you know, you want to, you know, play an exhibition, you want to create your own superstars. I mean, it's got a little bit of everything for everybody. So I highly doubt that, you know, anybody who picks up the game will be disappointed. And not only that, but, you know, we've got a ton of great DLC content to add to your gaming experience, which will just prolong the shelf life of the title. So WWE 13 available on the PS3, the Xbox 360, and Nintendo Wii. It's a must-have for the wrestling fan in your life.
Once again, we've been talking with senior game developer Brian Williams, who works for THQ on the WWE 13 video game. He's been with the whole WWE series since either 2007. Brian, is there anything else you want to add before I let you go today?
Just like to remind everybody out there that, you know, we just, again, that DLC pack that was just released today. And be on the lookout for the final DLC pack, which will be released in January sometime. And Chris, I just really want to thank you once again for having me on the show. This has been such an honor to be, you know, not only talking to you, but to be featured on the site. I'm a huge fan. And for everybody out there, if you're not a member, you're a member if you're listening to this podcast. But it's a great website, and I'm going to re-up my membership this week. Because you're right, you know, we're coming up into Royal Rumble season. And this is the one of the most fun times to be a wrestling fan. So ProWrestling.net, my site of choice.
Thank you for that, Floyd Brown. We hope to see you on the forum. We hope to see everybody listening on the forum. Again, if you're not a member, just head on over to ProWrestling.net. Two reasons to head over there as you're listening to this. One, sign up to be a .NET member. Get access to all the great audio each week, the ad-free version of the site, the .NET member forum, and the .NET member blog section, as well as information on how you can win a free copy of WWE 13. Brian, thank you again for joining us. I will be back on Saturday with Jake Barnett for another All Access podcast as we break down WWE SmackDown. Until then, everyone have a great week, and take care.